When he first learned about the word parentheses in relationship to our lifespan at this present moment, we knew nothing about the way that other parentheses interlocked with this one. We knew very little, if anything, about the fact that while we were in one parenthesis, others around us could be in another. We knew nothing about the fact that while we were in a visible parenthesis, we could be and are influenced by those in an invisible parenthesis. And so tonight, we want to take the idea of parenthesis as we originally knew it and carry it forward a bit to see that the interval, the interlude, the fragment that we may now experience is interlocked with yesterday's parenthesis and with tomorrow's, and that every moment we are writing our tomorrow. Now, beyond that, because of the fact that those who have made a transition are never far away, we are communing with them. We are walking in their light, as it were, and oftentimes, without the realization of it, we are moved by them. Now you can see that very clearly when you realize that you, in your present level of development, will naturally reach out to help others. They may not always know it. You will do world work, you will give silent treatments, you will bless without any standing in the public eye, you will be praying in secret. And as the eye of you is lifted, lifting the eye of those around you, so, in the same manner, those who have gone higher than we, as the eye of them continues to be lifted, it lifts us and we feel their influence, even though we may not be able to identify them. In some cases, they permit us to identify them. In others, their work is just as silent as yours when you see a beggar on the street. Never will he suspect what is going on in your consciousness, and sometimes never do we suspect what is going on in the consciousness of Joel, Buddha, Jesus, John, Peter, and those anonymous ones who perhaps just 50 years ago moved on and up into a higher parenthesis. Now, the reason a circle is used to designate the circle of eternity is similar to the wedding band that you put on a woman's finger. It symbolizes that there is no end to this marriage. Even through what is called death, we will still be one without beginning or end. This is the human symbolization. And so with the circle of eternity, as we stand in a parenthesis looking around the circle, if we have the memory, we can look back and see exactly what has put us in the position we are this moment. You might be shocked, though, if you had such a memory. You might be shocked at details of your past lives which would be unbearable to you. Because the evolution of man physically has taken us from lower states of being, mental states, physical states, and way back to the amoebic state. And you can be sure that your memory of these affairs would do you no good whatsoever. We have been spared that, and so we start each parenthesis afresh. But we bring with us the accumulated developed consciousness of our complete experience from that which may be called the beginning to this moment. There is nothing in your complete accumulated experience of consciousness that is not present this second. And that may take 1 million, 5 million. No one can give you a count of the millions of years it has taken in human time to develop to the present consciousness which you enjoy. Yesterday, whatever you did, sowed the seeds of many tomorrows. Today, whatever you did, sowed the seed of many more tomorrows. And you will find that each year, every detail of progress in your consciousness determines what will happen the following year. That which you develop in your consciousness within becomes your outer experience in the present, or the near, or the far future. And this sowing and reaping is what we become aware of when we look at the circle of eternity and realize, now I am here, but someday I will be there. And what I do there depends on what I do here right now. Now, before you went into business, before you had college education, before you went to high school, you made certain determinations. This is the career I want. And you prepared for that career. And you made a dedication of your time to attain those qualities and talents that you knew were necessary to pursue that career successfully. Now, when you learn about parenthesis, you're being told to amplify that identical pattern of thought into a wider range of activity, not to plan for the next year, the next 10, the next 20, but to build for eternity. And that is in line with Jesus' admonition when he said, lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust do corrupt, but lay up your treasures in heaven. And his meaning there was, do not let your present lifespan be a sum total of your belief in life. Expand your present belief into the realization that this lifespan is but a preparation for the next, and that the previous one was a preparation for this, and that each lifespan is a link in a chain without ending, without beginning. And when you grasp this, or if you have, you know that there came upon you a sense of relief, a release that said to you, you mean I don't have to concentrate all of my activity into this one parenthesis? That even if I make some errors, that even if I miss this or that experience, that I haven't lost anything? Do you mean that they're not going to put me in a tomb and that's the end? Or do you mean that there isn't going to be a hell or a heaven, but I'm going to stay right here, no matter what they do to the physical form? When that came to you, or when it comes to you, there will be this great, almost infinite sigh, because there will be a realization that life has no opposite. The circle of eternity is forever, and every lifespan is a school for the next lifespan. This is the boot camp. We are prepared in such a way that when we move into the next parenthesis, we have a new consciousness, a consciousness that is now prepared for that experience in such a way that we can handle, survive, express a wider range of consciousness than the previous one. It's been quite a long pull from the amoeba to this, but you start from God life and you move through many different forms. Now, when you travel through the United States or abroad, you send your body into various cities and various countries, and you accumulate new experiences. When spirit moves, spirit does it in a different and a wider way. Spirit is your name. And when you travel spiritually, you travel in different forms. When you travel humanly, you just change the luggage. When you travel spiritually, you adapt yourself to a new form for each parenthesis. And sometimes the forms are radically different than a human form. So that your complete self, as it journeys through each parenthesis, may be in a form that is not human. It may have been in an animal or vegetable form or mineral form. And it will evolve into still newer forms than this kind of form. And if you try to cling and hold and stop the expansion of that consciousness, which must, by its very nature, continue to express itself in newer and newer forms, then you build a karma which prevents you from attaining the expanded consciousness that is part of the divine plan. Now you know by now that karma can be broken. Although it originated in the Far East, and although it is true that as you sow, so shall you reap, although we have a karmic debt to pay, the infinite way shows us that this karmic debt need not be lived with until it is exhausted in 1, 2, or 5, or 10 parentheses. We don't have to move through these human lifespans constantly paying a karmic debt. This is where Jesus took the message beyond Buddha. And the way it was taken beyond Buddha is important. Because even though Jesus took it beyond Buddha, it required a Joel to explain how Jesus did it. And it is very vital that we see that the karma, which can be broken, is broken in the infinite way when we learn that our karmic debt, based upon our sins of omission and commission, is not part of our true being. That one word, impersonalize your karma, is responsible for the progress that we are making and will continue to make. That which we have called sowing and reaping, cause and effect, karmic debt, is broken when we see through the hypnotism of it and see that sin, not being of God, has no reality. And therefore, this which is called sin is not a part of me. It is a universal hypnotism which I have accepted as karma, as something that had to be worked out in lifespan after lifespan, but it does not. And this is where Joel brought us up to date with Jesus, who had taken us past Buddha. Karma is no part of your true being. Karma is the mirage, the conditioning, the brainwashing of accumulated errors of centuries, which we have accepted. And in the acceptance, we have given power to that which has no reality. And therefore, in this parenthesis, this one, when you break the law of karma, you have taken the accumulated centuries of karmic debt which have bonded you, which have shackled you, which have fettered you to the limitations of humanhood, and you are free, ready to make the transition to a higher state of consciousness, into another parenthesis in which you join, while here, those spirits who have moved on as you will, and tabernacle with them, letting their expanded consciousness be the light through which you are lifted still higher. This is our important parenthesis. Everyone has been important to the point that it was necessary. But it was necessary to bring us to the point where we could break the karma. Now, as you look around at your parents, at older associates whom you may have seen shackled and living in the monotonous routine of a walking dead life, unquestionably you have felt a sense of pity, a sense of sympathy. But yesterday, somebody was looking at you that way in a previous parenthesis. We have gone through that, and they must go through that. Remember, evil does not exist. Whenever you see a sense of evil, a sense of unhappiness, a sense of suffering, remember, it is part of the illusion. Behind that is the reality of self, spirit, God. And that which is happening is a necessity. It is happening because there is no other way to raise that individual to the point where that individual will break their karma. And perhaps I can explain it this way. It's that woman who said to me, if I take the wrong bus, it's the right one. It has a purpose. And so it has. Now when you look out, and you see the grapes being crushed. If you didn't know that this was to make wine, you would say, why are they so destructive? And when you look out and you see the seed buried under the ground, if you didn't know that's the way you get a tree or a flower, you say, why are you putting that under the ground? But so it is necessary to do, to bury the seed to get the flower above the ground, to crush the grape to get the wine. And even though it may seem cruel to our human senses to see suffering and agony, there is no other way in which that individual can be so impressed as to ultimately leave those activities which caused this karma to manifest. The will of the Father is your perfection in all things. And as you know, when you depart from that will, your karma begins. And so as you walk into the marsh, you sink deeper. As you walk further away from the will, from the rhythm, from the purpose of your own life, you sink deeper. And the deeper you sink, the more you realize that that's the wrong direction. Now, if you had a chance to talk to some of the younger folks, you would be surprised at how impossible it even appears just to speak to them and to see where they stand. Who, me? Oh, I have nothing wrong. Everything's fine with me. What do I need that for? A very superficial, almost totally shallow point of view toward this parenthesis. And the karma follows. If it didn't, there'd be no turning. Now, to you, it's very strenuous. When you see someone suffering deeply. But remember, they're not suffering deeply. What is happening is only the visible sensation that we experience when we look out of human eyes. In the invisible, all that stands there is the perfect Christ. And as you learn to look at that perfect Christ, you will say, this is a necessary appearance to convince that human mind that stands there, because it will now go into the next parenthesis and it will take with it that experience in such a way that something subconsciously will turn within, away from this experience, and in the next experience, you will find a higher consciousness. And all of the agonies will be forgotten. Now, there are many interesting points about a child coming back with a musical talent, a mathematical talent, an artistic talent, a religious talent. You say, here's a child that's 4 years old, and his musicianship surpasses many of the masters of today. His name is Mozart. Or here's a child who can do this, and here's a child who can do that. And you realize very quickly that within those few years, he could not have developed this talent. It is the accumulation of many other parentheses before it. Now, by the same token, and this is an important development in Joel's work, how about the fellow who displays an aptitude for crime? Isn't he bringing forth a consciousness from his previous parentheses just as the child brings forth a musical talent? And so, when you see this crime, it is part of his karmic debt, and it must be worked out. It must be worked out, and you must recognize that this is nothing more than an illusory karmic debt being worked out. You see, we are in a position now where we can look at the experiences of evil and impersonalize them, whereas the individual enmeshed in that evil knows nothing of this. He is strictly on a one-dimensional plane, confused, compelled, baffled, and activated by an impulse he doesn't understand. But you and I, we have the privilege of seeing the reality of his state of his hypnotism and not permitting ourselves to be impressed with it as a reality. We have the privilege of standing clear, impersonalizing, and thus lifting from ourselves the karma we would incur if we accepted his state of mesmerism as something to contend with. Our acceptance of his visible karma becomes our karma. And we sow to the illusion and reap an extension of a consciousness which is not expanding in the rhythm of God. Now, it may have been your privilege to have felt the influence of those who have moved on before you. Collectively, visibly, we unite for the purpose of sharing our attained states of consciousness. But we also unite with those invisibles. And this is where the real impetus begins. In the material consciousness, as isolated human beings, we hardly even draw from each other. But graduating above the material, above the mental, to the spiritual, as you begin to erase your karma, the light moves through, and subtly, you find yourself basking in the attained consciousness of one who has not named himself to you. And if you have experienced this, you know that this is the sign that you have caught the spiritual impulse and that there is a very definite guidance invisibly moving you, directing you, pointing the way, ever with you, interested in you, loving you, and asking nothing in return. You may find one, you may find more. And that impulse can quicken, deepen, and reveal itself as an individual identity with a name. And that is when you are being helped from another parenthesis. Now, this has happened to a number of us, and to some it continues to happen, not just as an isolated event, but as a steady, daily awareness that my words are not my own, my activities are not my own. There is someone, something, some power. And it, from its higher vantage point of truth, is making it possible for you to walk without taking those steps humanly, which previously had been engendered by fear and doubt and worry and concern. Some mystical invisible is removing these from you, and you know you have been touched from on high, and that henceforth, whatever you do will be in accordance to a different set of laws than the ones you had lived with among men. Then you're in an invisible parenthesis, quite different than the visible parenthesis of your fellow man. Now, occasionally, this happens to me, and it is named. But always, it happens without naming. And there is a subtle guidance which dictates from a higher source. And although I have never had the previous experiences of knowing this, this accentuated with the transition of Job. I might add that it happened to quite a number of people with his transition. Students around the world, for weeks after that, reported an impetus. They didn't know what it was, but they felt something. Now, that was very marked with me. A letter from Emma, way back 4 years ago, said, it was July, if I recall, a month after his transition, and she remarked that never for a second had they been apart since that transition. Now, this could easily be ascribed to a vivid imagination, but there are signs following, and each must find his own signs. The signs that follow are always a form of harmony and a form of something that happens which is beyond the usual. It is a form of mystical magic in which there's no earthly explanation for what happens, and yet it happens. And it can be a giant thing or a small thing. It makes no difference. But always the evidence of the invisible comes forth into your visible experience, and you merely sit still quietly and say, "Thank you, Father." And from that moment on, it's like seeing the Star of Bethlehem with the inner eye. You know it's moving across your invisible horizon, and you follow it. Now, this particular parenthesis we're in is the crucial one for those who are learning the absolute truth about their own being. They are learning that when mother and dad passed on, all that passed on was a momentary form, and that the life of mother and dad is going to reform. There have been cases in which we have tried to hold these more advanced in years, for fear that in losing them we would have a great void. And in so doing, we have held them in bondage to a form that they had outgrown. I know one particular case of a woman who had been a rather successful musician, and in her mid-40s, or maybe early 40s, gave it up to take care of her mother. And it was her sheer will which held that woman on this earth to the age of 92, 6 or 8 years of which she was completely a potato. Physically, mentally, emotionally, unable completely to even recognize her surroundings most of the time. No earthly good was accomplished. This woman was held back from her natural development, and the daughter who took care of her gave up her natural development. All because of this great fear of being alone, without mother. Now that is not the spiritual way. The spiritual way recognizes that in 500 human years from now, I may be in a physical form, or I may be sufficiently advanced to be in a spiritual form. But whatever is the will of the Father is my will. Whatever is the will of the Father for my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, is my will. Sometimes what we call death is a great release for those. They are released from their pains and their miseries. It's a blessing. And they are released to their next experience, and the karma they have developed must be paid for. And will be paid for. There is nothing they can do about it. No matter how long you may hold them here, they will still have to pay their karma. And you may cause them to come into more human parentheses than they would have needed by this human sense of fear and clinging. And so again, about our own selves, there's no need to cling to this human life. It has its purpose. But there's no reason to hold on to it any more than you would have held on to your 30th birthday and wanted to be 30 for all your life. There is a passing from a lower to higher consciousness, and it doesn't end. Infinity is without measure. The consciousness you have at 60 must be higher at 61, or that year has been wasted. And if there are those on this earth, as you know there are, who are wasting this parenthesis, far better that they be released to the next one so that they can resume that important journey to self. And so eventually we find we outgrow fear. We outgrow the sense of a limited lifespan with a beginning and an end. We really feel the circle of eternity. And ultimately, you know, we are to graduate from all parentheses and move freely in the circle so that neither time nor space nor form becomes a tomb. And it is precisely for that reason that the attained before us can commune with us. They are not hedged in by time. They are not hedged in by form or by space. With them there's no here and no there. They are here. Truly, we live within them. Each lower consciousness lives within the higher consciousness. It's like a series of nesting bones. And infinity is the overall consciousness in which we all live. Each above is feeding each below. And as you learn freely to draw from the one above, it is drawing from one above it. And you are feeding from infinity. Now then, this parenthesis becomes more of a joy. It isn't my human life anymore. It's my college. I'm learning here those tools that I will need in my career. This parenthesis is my college in which I am learning how I am going to live more successfully in the next parenthesis. And so we apply ourselves to the great rule to lay up our treasures in heaven. And instead of sowing to only the pleasures of this world, we sow to spirit, and this opens us to the full rainbow, in which at times you are in communion with Walt Whitman, Thoreau, Emerson, Mary Baker Eddy, Phil Moores, Joe, Meister Eckhart. You find that these are living. And they are welcoming you. And no longer do you waste your time only on the level of the visible. When you came to this plane of consciousness, it was because that was the result of each previous experience that you had absorbed and drawn to yourself. And as you rise to your spiritual levels, you draw to yourself your own household of God. You draw to your household those on this plane and those in higher planes, just as they are drawing you to them. And then you find you join with Jesus, who says, "Who is my mother?" Your associations change. Those who are not of your household are drawn away, and those who are of your household are drawn to you. Not only your household in personalities, but in circumstances, in experiences. We here tonight, for example, are drawn through the spiritual impulse into one household. But each of us individually has drawn to ourselves other households. And then we bring here our collective experience to share in the silence. Now your household of God is ever changing, as you are changing. More and more of you is dissolving, more and more of you is coming into awareness. And less of you is thinking consciously. Grace is a state of absolute no thought. When you are willing, through spiritual attainment, to let that invisible consciousness of God and the complete household in which you are in be your consciousness. Now try for a moment to go back 500 years. Try to imagine what you think you were, what form you assumed. It was probably a human form at the time. If you wanted to get back to the animal stage, you'd have to go back very far. But even though it was a human form, it was not at this level of freedom that you enjoy today. The progress from 500 years to now was reasonably slow. The progress from now to 500 years ahead will be 50 times as fast. Because once you have caught the spiritual impulse, it's like compound interest at the bank. Your complete quickening process is compounded. 1 year today, at your spiritual level, is the equivalent of 100 years at a material level. And that's probably an understatement. You see, we're quickly drawing away from the physical evolution and mental evolution of the world now. As you move into spiritual evolution, it will influence the physical and the mental. But it takes you into a completely different parenthesis while still in the form. So that physically, structurally, you may look as others, but they're not walking in the same universe you're walking. You seem to share the visible parenthesis, but the visible being unreal is hardly a thimble compared to the invisible in which you are really walking and drawing from. Now when Joel attained before this parenthesis, he came back and he announced in this particular book, this particular chapter, that those who return after having attained do so either voluntarily or under instructions to fulfill a mission. He didn't specify which one had been his, although he spoke about it to a few people privately. We who eventually expect to pass out of this physical universe may volitionally or under instruction return to a physical form. And therefore, because others have done the same, there may be others around you that you're not aware of who have done that. For instance, when Joel was around us, very few of us realized that he no longer was fulfilling a human life. He makes that statement, when you return after transition, through desire or through instruction, you no longer fulfill a human life. You're no longer even concerned about it. You don't try to live it. You strictly are here to fulfill that spiritual mission, and that's all you do. Whatever is the human life just takes care of itself. For example, looking back at Jesus, he hadn't come to fulfill a human life. He came on a mission. And he wasn't concerned about what he did as a human being. So with Joel. Now we may not do that. We may find that our work is completed as far as we're concerned. But it is important to know that there will be and must be and can never be avoided a transition into that spiritual life in which there is no human self to stand in the way. There will be that transition. And every parenthesis that you return to in a human basis is for the purpose of preparing you further for that transition. And when you know that, you must further know that by standing in the way of it, you are blocking the divine will. And blocking the divine will or violating divine will is karma. Now all around us in this world today, nations striving to retain some sense of national identity, some sense of personal salvation, some sense of possessiveness about the physical things of this world. These are not you. This is where you have been. And you must recognize the unreality of their position. You must see that this is a road you have traveled. When you look at poverty, when you look at starvation, be sure this is a road you have traveled. And think back for a moment at all of the unfortunate experiences that you can recall, forgetting those that you know nothing about in previous incarnations. every unfortunate experience you have had was vital. If you took them away, you would not be on the spiritual path. They were necessary to force you, to turn you. They were the great big detour signs that said, don't go this way again, go that way. And so it is with the poverty and starvation and insanities and murder and rape and war that you see all over this world. You may not think so, but what they are detour signs telling someone else, don't go this way again. And they are turning people from these experiences, and eventually they will rise, they will come through their karma into the next experience with a little less of it, a little less, and ultimately into the spiritual impulse. But take these experiences away from the world and they will not turn to spirit. Give them contentment, give them enough food on the table, enough money in the pocket, and enough of the pleasures of this world, and they will not turn to spirit. They will want to preserve a parenthesis, and it cannot be preserved. We must build for eternity. And so please, do not feel badly about someone suffering. It is what made you what you are today. It is what will make them what they must be tomorrow. Do not feel sad about someone who is old and feeble and decrepit and in great agonies. You cannot see that this is necessary. Be sure there is no evil in your Father's universe. Be sure that all of us have traveled that road. Some may still have that road to travel in greater or lesser ways. It depends on where you stand spiritually. Everything is being done to chasten us. It's as if they were taking an impure mineral and putting it to the fire, chastening it to make it pure. We are the child of God. We have erected a false personality, a false sense of life. And this false sense of life is the tomb of our identity. And that identity, moving through that tomb, eventually emerges as the risen Christ. Do you think that when you are Christed, that you will stop moving up into new experiences? Do you think that Joel is still not learning? Do you think that Jesus has stopped learning? Infinity is forever. And so when you are on the next plane, when you are in Christhood, that at that time will be like humanhood is now. And you'll be working toward your next parenthesis. And whatever that's going to be called, that will be a prelude to the one after that. And you may be sure that as the living Christ in your next parenthesis, or your next level of consciousness, you won't be in this kind of a form. And you won't cling to that new kind of a form any more than today you have the form you had 5,000 years ago. It's behind you, but you had to have it. You had to come through it to this one, and through this one to the next one. And when you get that feeling, you can go back into your very being and see that I am not this form. This parenthesis is part of my overall experience. Behind it all is I. And it is this I, when you experience it, when you demand it of yourself, it is this I that communes with the attained spirits. It isn't this human self that communes. And if you have missed that experience, it's because you have kept yourself into a human state of consciousness. It is the I of you which communes It is the eye of you communing with the eye of those who have attained, which brings to you their accumulated wisdom. Now, right now, this moment, we all have an opportunity to bask in the wisdom of the thousands who are part of our true spiritual household. And the real wisdom in us then would be to learn consciously to expose ourselves to their wisdom. Now become aware of that. You have never been alone. You have always been surrounded by this accumulated wisdom of your spiritual household. And it is necessary to acknowledge it, to become conscious of it. And I'd like to do that now. I'd like us to relax, find your position, not only in this parenthesis, but as divine self, and know that when you are in divine self realized, all who are in divine self realized are part of your household. You are all one household at that moment, and whatever happens to be necessary for your experience will appear first invisibly through omniscience of I, and then through omnipotence of I, that omniscience will transform spirit in such a way that to your visible senses your need appears. This is when you're in the divine self. Now then, when you're in the divine self, you are not in a parenthesis. You are not in a beginning and an ending. You are in the circle of eternity without the beginning or the ending of a parenthesis. This is how you step out of it. This is how you step into the full circle. The realization that I am divine self. I went to healing the other night. Clearly stated within was, the words, I am Christ's self. Relax. Now as this comes to you, I am Christ's self. Relax. This inner revelation is telling you that the Christ is on the field, the Christ is the eye of your presence, it is the self of you, it is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Relax. And then, as you realize I, the Christ self, can never leave you, well, this is your name, your identity. Let yourself be lifted by that Christ self with no effort on your part. Until you find that your mind is not struggling to understand, not struggling to perpetuate itself. In fact, your mind somehow seems to vanish. And you are left in a great, infinite awareness with no specific form or shape or thought, just an indescribable state of being. Lost in your own soul. Now that soul lives in no parenthesis. That soul draws from every parenthesis. It draws from all that is eternal. It draws from all that is infinite. The only parenthesis is for your mind and your body. Your soul is not in the parenthesis. And as you dwell in your soul, you have escaped from that limited margin of the mind. You have transcended the parenthesis. You are one with all spiritual reality since before the world was. And if there is anything in your time future that must be done, it is being done. And it will appear in your time future when it must appear. Because you have lifted the gates of the mind. You are not allowing yourself to move between birth and death.